The tax man is coming. Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Listen, look, it's okay, though. This is a friendly thing. We even have safe words to use, like PPP or... Or the sun and air that you can get from a victory lap. Jonathan Chevreau is the author of Victory Lap Retirement. He joins us. Jean-Pierre Laporte, the author of thepersonalpensionplan.com. We're worried right now because we got a looming tax deadline. And the indications are in Ottawa that the tax screws are going to start to turn more tightly and more voraciously on business owners, businesses, and everybody else. What are we going to do? What can we do? Can we have some sunshine on this dark topic this weekend? Jean-Pierre Laporte, we'll start with you.
Well, I think we're going to have some fiscal pressure coming down the pipeline as our governments realize that they need more money to continue on with their work, and the world economy is moving in a direction where more and more money is going to be required for old age care, health care, and other public spending. So they're going to be looking under every rock. I think that's what's going to be happening.
I'd like today if we can give people some takeaways when they, I don't know where you're listening to this, whether you're in Halifax or Vancouver, where we were earlier in the show today, but just some ideas maybe they can talk to their accountant or their loved one about what they're doing so that we can save them some money. John Chevreau, Victory Lap Retirement author. What do you think the Liberals have got up their fiscal sleeves?
Well,
to foist upon us Canucks.
I agree. There. It's a high spending agenda. You know, I always find it annoying that when the HST and the GST first came down, I always thought that the rationale was they were going to promise to use it to pay down the deficit. And yet, that doesn't seem to happen. It just became another source of money for them to give an excuse to spend even more.
Paul Martin was pretty good at deficit funding, though. Well, former Prime Minister Paul
20
Martin.
20 years ago, yeah. But it wasn't Saskatchewan who... You already see the provinces tempted to start raising their portion of the GST. And you know, it's the whole thing. I mean, if you allow a new tax like the GST when it was to be implemented... The temptation to keep on jacking it up is always there. Ironically, they're talking about that even in the United States, which so far they haven't had a value-added tax.
So what do we do? Okay, capital gains. You know, for homeowners out there, you know, this can really hit them when it comes to selling their property, et cetera. Jean-Pierre, what can people do to keep their money illegally from the tax man?
Well, I mean, we always talk about alternatives to the traditional ways of saving for retirement. And one of them is obviously the personal pension plan. That's pretty obvious. But a lot of people aren't familiar with these strategies. And so they go to the true and tested...
RSPs.
RSPs and other things that they might have heard from their insurance advisor. Let's buy a universal life policy. Let's buy a whole life policy. There are all kinds of techniques that are around, but often... there are some very good solutions that are just forgotten or not known, and unfortunately, people end up paying more tax than they ought to.
How do you think? Do you guys think that most Canadians, when it comes to the money they spend on taxes, if they spend a bit more time and asked a few more questions, the average Canadian would save a lot more, or would find? Certainly, the business owners don't ask enough questions, right? The average Canadian doesn't have the same tax advantages. But I still think that most Canadians, if they spent a bit more time doing things differently, would be saving more money. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, like income splitting is a good example. I mean, the government sort of almost introduced it, then they sort of backed off on it. They did introduce pension splitting, which is a great way for retirees to save money, particularly if one half of the couple has a big DB plan, defined benefit plan, and the other does not. There are still spousal RSPs, which is probably not everybody seems to understand the benefits of those. So we talked about RSPs, but not everybody does spousal RSPs. You know, the TFSA, the tax-free savings account, I think is a great vehicle. And one of the first things the Liberals did was whack it down from the $10,000 yearly contribution to $5,500. And yet they claim that they care about middle class fairness. It seems to me anybody with a tax free savings account is smack in the middle of the middle class. So and of course the budget had nothing on there. In fact, there were even scares that they were going to touch the capital gains, you know, inclusion rate, or even the cherished principal free residence. Luckily, that didn't happen yet. But we got two more years, and the shoe may yet drop.
What about pension splitting with the personalpensionplan.com, Jean-Pierre?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's one of the benefits that few people seem to know about, that if you, as John was saying, if you have a pension plan, you can allocate on your returns and your spouse's returns half of what you're collecting from the pension plan. So your taxable income drops, even though your spouse's goes up, and then both of you can claim the $2,000 per person non-refundable pension amount credit. So you can start doing this with a pension plan as early as age 55, whereas if you stay with an RRSP and you turn it to a RIF, you can only do this stuff at age 65. So you've got a 10-year leg up with a personal pension plan.
Would you guys agree that most people unwittingly pay too much tax? I mean, just some 1%ers that are screwing the system. They're offshoring it and whatever.
I think,
but the average Canadian...
The average Canadian,
I think, pays too much tax.
I totally agree. I think. I don't have statistics, but just anecdotally.
They don't have to, but because they're not looking around corners, they're paying too much tax.
I think the average salaried employee is in a box, can't really, there's not much they can do beyond you know, TFSA and RRSP. I mean, it's true that the business owners have a lot more vehicles to have creative accounting, et cetera, but as the article that we discussed about Tim Pasiak talked about, this whole middle-class fairness paper that the Liberals are looking at, they seem to make all the signals post-budget were that they're going to start attacking the corporate, you know, there's various measures, and I think one of them called, what do they call it, income sprinkling among family members in corporations.
Dividends, right, with dividends?
Usually, yeah, but not exclusively.
So if I adopt Kyle Hirshhorn with my company, right, Crystal Nation's my company, I could sprinkle. And I don't mean the Donald Trump kind of thing in Moscow in 2013, but I'm talking about I could have dividend sprinkling.
Yeah,
and if I'm not talking about the PPP either.
Yeah, if he's in a lower tax bracket, and you adopted him, plan. And of
no,
course.
But I can income sprinkle if he's adopted.
I presume. I mean, okay. Or certainly if he's you're he's legally part of yours or employed, etc. But
he won't have me though. No, he won't let me sign the papers. So let's talk about how this new tax environment, I'll go to JP first and I'll go to John Chevro, anticipating what the feds are going to do, turn these tax screws on people. So we take the guy that owns a franchise to the guy that owns a variety store, you know, most of the people that, you know, make the backbone of this country in terms of small business. What are the options? What should they do looking ahead at this looming liberal tax gouge?
Well, you should really look at things that are legitimate. You know, we never advocate going for some offshore or some art deal or some stuff that promoters are pushing, and they usually get in hot waters when they do that. We look at what's legal and been around forever. And, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, but the personal pension plan is one such solution where you can dramatically increase the number of tax deductions you can claim. Therefore, you pay less tax and you've got more money compounding in a tax-deferred environment. It's pretty simple, but if no one mentioned it to you, then I guess you're going to keep paying taxes.
Well, it's funny. Before this broadcast, I talked to a couple of folks about the personal pension plan, and they agree with me. If you take two people that are twins, both equal, the one person takes advantage of the Income Tax Act rules in the personal pension plan. The other guy doesn't. The other guy's got like almost $800,000 more dollars at the end of it. Now, you know, everything's a little bit different, but generally speaking, people are paying too much tax. And there's legal ways of doing this, safe legal ways where you're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to raise any red flags. You're going to do things properly. And, you know, people just aren't looking for solutions. And the financial community is slow to adopt this, but it's gaining momentum, the personal pension plan. John Chevro.
Well, again, I think the salaried employees don't have a lot of option. I mean, you're taxed at source. When you spend the money, ultimately, you're paying HST and GST with after income tax dollars. Yes, you can maximize your RRSP because the press and the media seems to be obsessed with the RSPs and TFCs. A lot of people don't, except for business owners, if it's introduced to them by an accountant or somebody knowledgeable, they'll know about the IPP or the PPP.
Yeah, the individual pension plan, which is the PPP, thepersonalpensionplan.com, is an upgrade of the IPP. But the IPP has been around for how long? The individual pension plan?
26 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's what, 1 million plus business owners that could probably benefit from it. How many actually have them?
15,000,
yeah,
or 20,000.
So 15.
Barely scratched the surface.
What's wrong with their advisors? I know that
maybe they don't
solutions.
Get paid if they.
It's a bit odd. So you know if you're
they
out
pay
there,
fees?
If you own a business, you know, ask your accountant about an individual pension plan or look at thepersonalpensionplan.com, which is an improvement. It's just funny though, but. You know, I know lots of people that are sole proprietors. They're not incorporated. And there's things that they do. They just pay, and they pay too much tax. I said, if you should do this, they won't do it. People are afraid, and they're lazy. Am I wrong? I'm afraid and lazy. I wake up every day lazy and afraid of almost everything.
Well, there's if I may jump in, there are certain things that are really simple. And if you look at, for example, cars. You could have your employer lease a car for you, and then you have to include that as a benefit of employment, pay tax on it. Or you could just buy a car and bring in the receipts for the gas and the mileage, and then you get a reimbursed, not taxable. You still get a car, but in one case you pay tax, and the other you don't. You know, it's how you structure things.
And most people don't spend the time. They work so hard raising their families, running their business. They don't spend the time on the other things. And I don't always think they get the best advice. Jonathan Chevro.
Well, I was going to say there's some contradictions in the budget. I mean, like the two measures, for example, they got rid of the boutique tax credit on public transit, which is basically, if that's not middle class, a little tiny tax.
You got
rate.
Your pass. Your pass was a write-off.
Yeah, well,
right?
Yeah,
they got rid of that.
I actually took advantage of that for about 2 years, and it was pretty trivial, really. On the other hand, now they're going to tax Uber. But isn't that also middle class people and business people who use it? So it's like, how is that helping the middle class? I'm not sure. It just seems sort of random. And now they're going to go after all these other. I mean, that's just the first shoe dropping, I think, as far as all these other boutique credits we've seen.
Some bad rough weather ahead for taxpayers.
Well, I think so. I'm worried. I've written about the old age old age security. I mean. Worst case, they go back to, you mentioned Paul Martin 20 years ago, where they tried to basically create the seniors benefit by merging the OAS system with the GIS, which all it was, as I understood, it was a disguised way to basically deny OAS benefits for relatively affluent seniors. You started to see the pre-budget speculation was they were going to attack the age 65 credit, the tax credit, which basically, so right now when you're a senior, if you're 65, you can get roughly the first $20,000 a year in income is tax-free. There's the basic personal amount, which is like $11,000 or $12,000. You mentioned the $2,000 pension credit, but the big one is about $7,100 for the age credit, just by being age 65, which is basically makes your OAS security payments, which start at 65, tax-free. But it's being tested, which means after 60,000, you're not going to get that tax break anyway. And the very fact that there was the pre-budget rumor was they were going to touch that credit, they didn't in the budget, but they got 2 more years to go, indicates they certainly got their eyes on the huge expense of OAS benefits. So I think seniors are, they seem to think that seniors are rich and that, and business owners and professional corporation people are rich, but they're not as rich as Tim Pasek said, as the average civil servant or the politician who are making the rules and enforcing them.
That's a very good point. Remember that. What he said, that's very good. Jean-Pierre, last word. Jean-Pierre Laporte, thepersonalpensionplan.com, Integris Pension Management, last word.
I just want to echo what John was saying. I mean, it's a lot of contradictions in this budget, and we just have to find ways of mitigating against these tax grabs. And like I said before, personal pension plan, but that's not the only one. Lots of strategies out there. You just need to talk to the right people.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. I'll be back next week right here on Channel 167, Canada Talks, Sirius XM.